right up, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the biggest and brightest podcast you've ever seen. Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. And hey, look at that. It's me, Amelia Dalton, your host of today's verification festivities. This week, we're going to have our functional safety verification cake. I need it too. We're talking about one of my all-time favorite subjects, cars. Let me introduce Sanjay Pillay, CEO of Austemper, and we're talking about functional safety of SOC and the ASIC market, fault injection campaigns, and why I am especially interested in the future of autonomous cars. Check it out.
My guest today is Sanjay Pillay from Austemper. Thank you so much for joining me today, Sanjay.
Thank you, Amelia, for having me. Really glad to be here.
Okay, so first off, for my audience who may not know, what is Austemper all about?
So Austemper Design, we are a startup company. We were founded in March of 2015, so a little over 2 years old. We are an EDA tools company servicing the functional safety aspects of the ASIC design or the SoC market. We have a full suite of tools for the analysis, the synthesis of the functional safety features, and then the fault injection campaign verification. So the first tool is called Safety Scope. That's the tool that does the analysis of your design, of our customers' designs. And it gives out a score called the fit rate or the fit score, which is the measure of the reliability of the device. And also the diagnostic coverage, which is the measure of how many of those faults can either be detected or corrected if it were to happen during runtime. Gotcha. You know, that's something that the automotive ASICs or electronic systems need to meet because it's codified into a 26262 standard. Right. So it's something that all of our customers will have to kind of prove what that number is. Right. Now, in addition to that, what we have a set of tools, it's two tools called the annealer and the radioscope tool. These are the tools that go in and add the diagnostic coverage into our customers' designs if they don't already exist. Okay. So this is an automated way of, you know, getting your coverage numbers. Like an ASIL-B would be a diagnostic coverage of about 90%, and an ASIL-C would be 97%. So let's say our customer has a design that they have inherited from a previous project or from their commercial counterparts, let's just call it that, right? And they don't have any coverage, or they have a coverage that doesn't meet the ASIL requirement that they're trying to hit. They can use our tools, both the annealer and the radioscope tools, to go in and add the coverage to get to the level that they want. Traditionally, it's been done with a set of engineers going in and making the changes and then verifying it all across, automated that process. And then the last part is the verification portion of it. The ISO standard does require a proof that, you know, whatever the diagnostic coverage we are claiming, it has to be proved out in a simulation environment by running what is called the fault injection campaign, where they actually inject the faults in simulation and prove that it was either corrected or detected during operation. So we have a tool called Kaleidoscope, which actually runs that campaign. And, you know, our differentiator is we can handle extremely large capacities.
Okay, so let's talk about the advantage that designers have when they have a full suite of tools to address functional safety in their design. So what do you think, are these designs more complex than others for networking or graphics applications?
So, you know, traditional ASIC design or SoC design has the power performance area, the PPA, as their metric. Now, once you go into functional safety critical applications, you know, like automotive or maybe even some of the industrial applications, there is another dimension that gets added to it, which is functional safety. And this is the one piece where, you know, functional safety goes against all the three other metrics that's traditionally used by most vendors to define, you know, how good their chip is or how it's performing. Right. To get functional safety, you have to give up some area. Typically, you have to give up some speed. And typically, you've got to add, you know, power. So it goes in a different dimension. You know, it's a necessity. When you go into an automotive space, especially something that's critical, let's say it's a brake controller, you don't ever want to find out that your brake didn't work because your controller failed.
Right.
So there is a lot riding on these end use cases. Like if it's in an automotive and something goes wrong, you can have, you know, people get hurt. Similarly, if it's an industrial, it's the same kind of stuff. People can get either hurt or the losses are pretty staggering, right? They are protecting millions of dollars in investments and you don't want bad things to happen.
Right.
Similarly, on the enterprise side, if a network goes down and stays down, like, you know, one of the airline networks went down for a few hours, that's a few $100 million of losses and inconvenience to the customers. So when you get into that kind of space, then functional safety becomes a critical component. So yes, it is more complex. It adds a whole extra layer of complexity on top of the traditional, you know, ASIC and SoC designs. The tools that we have, having the whole suite of tools makes this process a little bit more manageable. We have the analysis tool. It analyzes and it gives you the score. Now, if it's a point product, it'll give you the score. In addition to the scores, our analysis tool also gives out a guide of, you know, where the diagnostic coverage loss is coming from, which then you can use in our annealer and the radioscope tools to go and plug those gaps.
Right.
You know, if you follow the whole tool suite, it makes it easier. In addition to that, the radioscope tool also gives out the fault injection point list. It's a filtered down list instead of doing a brute force tryout on every node.
Yeah.
It only picks the nodes where there is credit being claimed. You can use this fault injection list with our Kaleidoscope tool flow to complete the fault injection campaign in a more efficient manner. I mean, our goal to make our standalone tools world-class, you know, so that they can stand on their own. We're not counting on the fact that you have to use the whole suite to get the advantage. But of course, if you have the whole suite, it makes it a whole lot easier.
All right. So automotive electronics is an obvious segment for your tools. What other markets are you looking at for designs that need to meet these functional safety requirements?
So if you look at functional safety as a field of study or, you know, where it comes from, most of the spec for the functional safety as it's defined, it's called safety integrity levels. That is defined in the IEC 61508 spec. There are lots of each industry kind of adapts that spec. The 26262 is the automotive adaptation of that spec. But like I mentioned, industrial would be the obvious next or adjacent market to the automotive. The mechanisms are relatively similar. The actual thresholds might be a little bit different between, you know, the various ASIL levels versus the SIL levels in the industrial. But there is a IEC spec for the industrial, which anybody going into that market will need to do similar stuff to what the automotive guys are doing.
Sure.
The other area where functional safety is important and our tools can get used are the medical electronics components.
Sure.
And the next one would be the enterprise providers.
Sure.
The next one after that would be the avionics industry. They have a spec. It's the DO254 spec that they use. Again, very similar with minor nuanced differences. But the methods that are used are relatively similar and the analysis techniques are relatively similar, especially for the ASICs that supply into it.
Sure. All right, let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, autonomous vehicles. Now, let's look into your crystal ball, Sanjay. Do you predict we'll see autonomous vehicles on the road soon? How about with some of your tool suite included, maybe? Or will I be the first person on my neighborhood to own one?
I do believe the path to autonomous vehicles, you know, we are already on that path. I believe 5 to 7 years, maybe worst case 10 years, we will see autonomous cars on the streets. I would like to be the first on my street to have one. Okay. When you talk about autonomous vehicles, right, the safety is a big component of it.
Absolutely.
Does the person sitting in the car have enough confidence on the autonomous systems that they can, trusting your life at the end of the day, you know, to this machine? Are you comfortable with doing that? And I know I am, because, you know, being on the functional safety side of it, seeing how much effort goes into taking care that systems do not fail, components do not fail. And if they fail, they have the secondary layers of protection. The amount of effort and the science that goes behind it, I would be extremely comfortable going in one of those vehicles. And I hope you guys are too. I hope you do.
I think I will be. All right, time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, speaking of driving, we were just talking about how you have touched both coasts in a car. So it's on the same trip, different trips. Tell me more about this.
It's been a goal of mine to go cross-country, touch the Atlantic and the Pacific in a trip. So couldn't do it in one single trip, but we actually did it and actually did it with my wife and kids. So touched the Pacific on New Year's Day. My son's high school band was playing at the Rose Bowl Parade. So drove out there, touched the Pacific after the New Year, drove back. And this summer, we actually drove to the East Coast to Florida and touched the Atlantic on that side.
Nice.
Again, that was with family too. So, but I love driving. I love seeing the countryside while driving. Again, autonomous vehicles would be awesome because I do get to see the road, but I have to focus on the road when I'm driving cross country. I can't take in the various change in scenery that happens as you travel through the whole country.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, because I'm not that great of a driver. Okay, well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
All right, my friends, let's keep on trucking down this technological highway with a little news you may have missed. Design Challenge Edition. We all love a little design challenge, right? But what if I said I know of a brand new design challenge that will combine our love of IoT, because we all love IoT, right? And our love of cars. Oh, yes. So, just last week, Element 14 and ST Microelectronics rolled out their IoT on Wheels Design Challenge. So, the goal of this challenge is to create a design that makes today's vehicle safer, smarter, and more efficient. All right, so how? Well, in the center lane of this fast-flying design challenge is the STM32 Nucleo. You'll want to use that as the basis of your design. And for this design challenge, Element 14 and ST Micro are looking for inspirational prototypes that might change the way we all travel, or improve our commute, or even make us safer overall when we're on the road. Oh yeah, and four wheels isn't completely necessary. They made a big point in the details of this challenge that all forms of transport are applicable. All right, bring on my automated IoT bicycle. Oh, and get this. Ben Heck, yes, the Ben Heck, is going to be participating in this challenge as well, giving us all a little inspiration and competition. Although, I'm guessing he can't actually win. Anyway, details time. Element 14 is going to be accepting application for their IoT on Wheels challenge until the 14th of August. 10 official challengers will be announced on August 28th, and those 10 contestants will receive a complimentary kit containing the STM32 Nucleo MCU development board, along with a sensor expansion board, Bluetooth LE expansion board, Wi-Fi expansion board, all from ST Microelectronics. Each of the 10 challengers will provide weekly updates on their progress through blog posts, photos, and videos via the Element 14 community. All right, so cool. So those 10 challengers will have until November 13th to submit their projects. Entries will be judged on originality, innovation, and technical merit. And then in December 2017, the winners will be announced. Okay, the prize part, that's super cool. In addition to all that helping the world travel more safely part, the grand prize winner will receive a bundle of products worth over $1,700, including a Segway Mini Pro, an Oculus Rift, Touch VR headset, and DuraTool crimp kit. The second prize bundle is worth over $1,000, which contains a Pioneer GPS cycle computer bundle, GoPro Hero 5 black action camera, and soldering iron hot knife and heat tool kit. Oh, and all the challengers who submit a completed project will receive a DuraTool electronic toolkit, DuraTool heat gun, and a Temna handheld digital multimeter. So get to it. What are you waiting for? Oh, and a link for more information. Of course, I've got you covered there. You can click the link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com, and there you can get even more information and submit your design. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, keyword EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 28th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.